Turn to Colossians, the third chapter. Colossians chapter 3, and we'll continue in our study of the book of Colossians. This morning, we're going to see where the Apostle Paul talks about some very practical ways of living the Christian life in a spiritual realm. And the unfortunate thing is that we oftentimes try to do things on our own, and it never really works out. And so when we look at the Scripture today, we're going to see where Paul says there are some things to put off and some things to put on. And as we look at that together today in the Word of God, we're going to start there at verse 1 and follow down through 14. So follow along with me as I read. Therefore, if you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you will also be revealed with him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also walked when you were living in them. But now you also put them all aside: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to the true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him, a renewal in which there is no distinction between Jew or Greek, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free man, but Christ is all and in all. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another, forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all of these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Bow together with me as we pray this morning. Father, it's such an honor to be with this people and to open your holy word. Father, we need you this morning. There's not a person here who does not need you. But Father, I pray that you would help us to understand just how much that we need you. Help us to understand that we need a Savior every single day. Father, I pray today that you would take the Word of God, make it living and powerful, sharper than that two-edged sword that can discern between the thoughts and the intents of our heart. Father, fill me with your Spirit, that I might declare your Word in a way that brings honor and glory to our Lord Jesus. For it's in his name I pray. Amen. Years ago, when I was a youth pastor, and that's a long, long time ago, we used to learn Scripture with the students by singing them. This was one of those passages that we would sing. And I taught probably 50, 60 verses of Scripture to our students by putting them to music and teaching them how to sing the songs. Now, when I became pastor again at First Baptist Lindsay about 6 years ago, when I returned there, where I had been their youth pastor many, many years before, very few of those people were even still in the community that had learned that. But I began to do the very same thing with the adults. And so I printed up Scripture sheets and the songs that we would sing, and that's what we would sing on Wednesday night, was the Scripture. And as we would do that, when they would come to those passages of Scripture, it would just kind of roll in their mind as you would hear that song. This one went like this. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of the Father. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. I always wanted that to be a reminder that they were risen with Christ, and their life is not their own. It was hidden with Christ in God. And you know, when we come to the Scripture, we need to let it become something that is a part of our life and not just something that we visit once in a while. It needs to be something that we practice every single day. So when we look at how the Apostle Paul begins to speak to them, remember, just before this, he's been talking about some things that the Christians were to be doing in their Christian life. But he talked about the circumcision of the heart. That's the cutting away of the flesh. And now he's telling you that if you are a child of God, you are no longer like you used to be. And we need to get that in our thinking. Because our habits are kind of like muscle memory. If you've ever done something repetitively over and over and over and over again, your body can almost do those things without thinking about them. Well, let me tell you, in our old man, the old person that we used to be, if we're not careful, we'll just go back to mind memory on those things and go back to doing things the way we did them before we were in Christ. And so when the Apostle Paul here is talking about the relationship that we have with God, he says, if you then be risen with Christ. Now, literally, it means since you have been risen with Christ. He's not saying if as if there's some kind of maybe so, maybe not. No. That's not the idea at all. For the person who's born again, you are in Christ. That's a settled fact. You don't have to wonder about it. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to try to keep score and say, have I done enough for God to accept me? No. God has accepted you in the sacrifice of Christ. When you receive Christ, you are in Christ. All right? So he says, since you are risen with Christ, seek the things that are above. Now, when he begins to talk about that, notice that he's actually using terms that are active. Seeking is something that you actively do, okay? Seek the things which are above. Now, is that something that is going to occur to you naturally to do? No. You have to set out to do it. That's why he says, set your affection, set your mind on things above. Some years ago, I was reading some posts on Facebook, and a fellow who I'd gone to high school with, he had been a foreign exchange student at Carl Junction, Missouri, where I graduated from high school, and he had come from Ecuador. Now, Eduardo went on to be, he was a real brainiac, you know, and he became a brain surgeon in Helsinki, Finland. Speaks about 6-7 languages, something like that. Really, really sharp guy. But in his post in English, which is kind of neat to watch that on Facebook, but he said, what the H is the mind anyway, because the brain is nothing more than gray matter. And I thought, there's my opportunity. I said, Eduardo, you've been studying science all your life, and I've been studying God. And the mind is the place where man has a way to interact with his Creator. God created us to have an interaction with Him through our mind. And he said, well, a lot of people don't see it that way. And I said, I didn't ask you what everybody thought about it. I just told you what happens. Because the Bible clearly says that our mind is that place where we really function with God. So he says, set your mind, set your affection, set your thinking on things above. Now, notice it says set. That means that you can actively do that, and you can say, that's my target, that's what I'm aiming at. Now, realize this, that's not what makes you saved, it's what saved people do, okay? And so, never ever get it confused that you do something to make yourself acceptable to God. That never happens, okay? Never has, never will. But what does happen is that you participate after God has saved you. You see, that's where salvation begins, is with God. When God saved you, if you're saved, and if you're not, you need to be. But I want to share with you, if you are saved, God says, now, participate with me. Set your mind on things above. not on things on the earth. Am I the only one that just gets sidetracked sometimes by all the noise on earth? Man, there's so much junk out there. I want to stay informed, but when I get informed, I think, oh my soul, this is awful. And I kind of get the doldrums sometimes because of what's going on in this stupid world. But what I do find is that when we set our affections on things above, we are leaving behind those things that we used to be, those things that we used to do, and you remember in the previous chapter, he's been talking about legalism, and a lot of people think that's your way to God. Can I tell you something? Legalism is never the way to God. Never is. But what you do find is that when you participate with God, he joins you, okay? In fact, Jesus made this clear about how to know and do the will of God. In John chapter 5, he says, is it 5 or 15? Anyway, he says, the Father's been working up till now, and I too am working. And he says, the Son can do nothing of himself, but he does what he sees the Father doing. Folks, what we have to do is we got to see where God's at work and get in on it. Move right where God's working. Do what God's up to. You see, legalism will never get you there. And you'll also remember at the end of that second chapter, he talked about asceticism of people thinking they had higher visions and voices of angels and all that kind of stuff. That doesn't get you anywhere either, okay? So what he's trying to help you to understand is that there is a place where you can get past all of that, and it's the place, the battlefield of the mind. You are risen with Christ, and so he says, keep on seeking those things which are above. Focus on heavenly things. See yourself as with Christ, all right? And you say, well, that's not easy. I didn't say it's easy. I said it's something you do, okay? And when you as a Christian begin to understand that you have an enemy who's trying to sidetrack you, trying to get your mind on everything else, you can say, nope, I'm going to set it on Christ. I'm going to set my mind on things above and not on things on the earth. Brother Bill, you sent me that scripture this morning out of Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind. Folks, you want to know how to really live the Christian life? Get a renewed mind. Don't factor in the way things have always been. Begin to put that off. And he lists several things to put off there in just a moment. But when Christ does begin to work in our life, we put off immorality, impurity. We put off former passions, evil desires, and greed. He says all of those are nothing more than idolatry. And it says, because of these things, the wrath of God is upon the sons of disobedience. Now, hear me and hear me well. I talked about the mess of this world. Folks, that's because everybody's doing all of those things and God isn't pleased. And it says that the wrath of God is upon the sons of disobedience. When you got saved, what'd you get saved from? Can I tell you what you got saved from? You got saved from God's wrath. Okay? Because you are already condemned until you repent and believe. And when you repent and believe, then you are saved from the wrath of God. So God saves you from God. Think about that. And you put off the way you once walked. And he says, the way you did in your former life, okay? Now, everybody has a former life. Everybody has things that you don't want to talk about. And because of that, you simply take that to the burial ground and get raised from the dead. You see, you're dead, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Man, that's a good news. That's really good news. So when he talks about these things that you put off, he says not only do you put off immorality, impurity, but passions, evil desires, and greed, but he says also put off anger and wrath and malice. Now, does anybody here have any problem with any of those things? This guy does. Okay? I tell people all the time, and I've said it before, I've never lost my temper. I still got a bad one. Okay? And so, you know, when anger and wrath can just boil up in a heartbeat, I have to really take that to the cross and die to that. Yesterday, we were at Sam's Club up in Joplin picking up some things, and when I opened my car door, the wind caught it, and it bumped the car next to me. And I thought, oh, goodness. I didn't see it. You know, I've got a brand new white car, and, you know, it didn't have any white car or paint on that black car, so I thought, didn't do anything. So I went on in. When I came back out, a man and his wife were standing there and said, "You dented our car." Now, I could have stood there and argued with him, go toe-to-toe, and said, "You can't even see that." You know, but I said, "You want my insurance?" He said, "Yeah, I do." I said, "Okay." He said, I'd like your name and your phone number." I said, "Just take a picture of my insurance card right there, you know." And so instead of trying to argue, which would have been my normal stature, the Spirit of the Lord apparently tamped that down a little bit where I just said, "Okay, let's deal with it." I said, I'm going to help you with whatever it is that you have here. I couldn't even hardly see it, but nevertheless... Anger, wrath, malice, those kind of things happen. And he even talks about abusive speech. You know, there are some people, that's just their nature. If it weren't for ugliness, they wouldn't have any kind of communication at all, because abusive speech is just who they are. And these are things that are done to other people by us. Does that help the cause of Christ? Never. Not one time. Okay? He says, so don't lie. But he says, instead, put on. And he says, the idea here, you know, put on. It's kind of like clothes. I mean, this morning I took off the bed clothes that I had on, got up and put on clothes after I showered and all of that. Well, that was a complete change of raiment. But the point of that is, when you come to being a Christian, you put off some things that were the way you used to be. Kind of like when you got up grumpy this morning. Somebody said, does your wife wake up grumpy every morning? I said, no, I wake up by myself, you know. But anyway, the whole idea here is we put off the old things. We put on the transformed life. It's renewed through knowledge. Now that has to be revisited over and over and over and over again, day in, day out, every day, many times a day, so that we are indeed participating in that resurrected life. You see, this reflects the image of God in Christ. And let me tell you, when a person puts on that heart of compassion, you think people notice that? Yes, they do. Do they notice kindness? I do. Man, when someone's kind to me, I take note of that. It's not normal, okay? Or humility. Man, humility is something, if you got to tell people you got it, you ain't got it no more, okay? But the whole idea is we put on humility, gentleness, patience, forbearing one another, he says, and forgiving one another, as the Lord forgave you. You see, I just got off the phone with a friend of mine who's a pastor that is retired, and he said, God got my attention yesterday. I said, how was that? He said, my worst enemy in this life died yesterday. And he said, this was a wicked, wicked, evil woman who had... you know, moved against his family. He was pastoring a church out in central Kansas, and this woman decided that the pastor should get somebody else to preach that day because she didn't want to work in the nursery, and he ought to go. And he said, ma'am, I've got to preach. I'm not going to go to the nursery right now. I need to preach in just a few minutes. And she said, well, you'll be gone from here at 4 o'clock today. And at 4 o'clock that day, they had a deacon's meeting. She said, I don't like him here. He's got to be gone. He's gone. That lady got cancer. She was dying. And for the past 3 months, they'd been looking for him so that they could try to let him know that she needed his forgiveness. She was tormented for the way that she had done others in an evil way. Now, he said, of course I forgive her. And he said, the lady that had called him said, 10 minutes ago when she died, you were the last name she named on her lips, still looking to forgive you, or to ask you to forgive her. And he said, when I said, of course I forgive her, the other lady began to cry and weep. And she said, we've been looking for months to try to find that forgiveness. Can I tell you, that forgiveness is readily available when we really do live a put-on life. We put on Christ and we put off the old way. And when we see the forgiving one another as the Lord forgave you, we see where he says, and above all, put on this, love. Because that love produces unity. You know, our world is longing for unity and peace and all of those things, and it's so evasive. It's like no one can grab hold of unity and no one can grab hold of peace. And every time they try to force it on somebody, it just makes things worse. But folks, as a Christian, when we have put off the old man and we put on the new and we are doing all these things, he says, and above all, put on love, which is that place of unity. It results in peace of Christ ruling in our hearts. It produces thankfulness. I liked what Adrian Rogers used to say, that there are two different kinds of people in this world. There are those who are humbly grateful, and there are those who are grumbly hateful. And you can tell the difference. Okay? Real easy to see. But when we see the person who is forgiving, that person is humbly grateful. That person is someone who is able to express the life of Christ. And guess what? When that happens, those who are outside of Christ see the attraction of following Jesus. Let me tell you something. When we've put off the old man, we have become the new man. That's who we need to be. We need to be that new person that Christ has created us to be, and do so with such consistency that it becomes the normal flow of our life rather than the abnormal actions of our life. Let that become something that's a part of you day in and day out. God wants that to happen in the life of every child of God, especially those right here at Lake Center Baptist Church. Because you see, that will make Christ attractive to those who are outside. Now, I don't know where you are today, but I do know that everyone who hears the Word of God should respond to the Word of God. And when it comes to the Word of God, it's not just for people who are lost. Certainly it is for that person who does not know Jesus. That person should respond, and they should come and receive Christ as their Lord and Savior. And by the way, there are ways to do that here at this church. You can contact some of the pastoral staff. You can write on your bulletin. There's a little pull-off tab there. And on the back side of it, it says, I've decided to follow Jesus, or I want to renew my relationship with Christ, or I'd like to know how to join the church. All of those are there. Someone can have that conversation with you personally. But hear me. Every person who hears the gospel every Sunday should respond to God in some way. Whether we're saying, Lord, I want to do that. I want to put off the old man. I want to put on Christ. I want to live the resurrected life. It's something that God can do in each and every one of us. And so this morning, as we come to a time of simply responding, let's pray together, and then we'll have our hymn of response. Father, we love you. We thank you for the pleasure of being here in your house. Lord, I pray that you'll make very real the truth of your word today. Father, cause us to think about it other than on Sunday. Cause us to think about it Monday and Tuesday, Thursday, and all through the week. Lord, help us to think about it. Thank you, Lord, for the week that's coming up and the Bible school and the children who will have opportunity to respond to Christ. Father, I thank you for just the privilege of hearing your word today. Make it very real in our lives, for we pray in Jesus' name.